Hi everyone, this is my name is Phil Hack. I'm with the ASP.NET team, and I'm the program manager for ASP.NET MVC as well as a NuGet package manager. And today I want to talk to you about NuGet. I'm really excited to be here as part of the MVC Conf, and one interesting thing about giving a presentation to a set of cameras virtually is that nobody laughs at my jokes. So I actually did something here where I have a little laugh track. So I don't even know if you can hear that, but I can, and that's all that matters. So that'll make me feel a little more comfortable about this talk. All right, so I particularly like technologies that solve a problem that I have. Maybe it's selfish of me, but I also like it when it solves problems that my friends have. And so I work on an open source project called Subtext in my spare time, and it's a blog engine. And in the last release, that major release that we had, I was going through the list of dependencies, and we have about 20 or 30 third-party open source libraries, assemblies that we reference. And it's a real pain to go through each one and then do a search online, find out if there's an updated version of it, and then if there is an updated version of it, making sure that I properly put it into my project and reference any of its dependencies and so on. And that's one of the areas that NuGet is really great at. It's also really great at acquiring the libraries in the first place, discovering, acquiring them, putting them into the right place in your project, and then making use of them. So let me just let's go to my deck here. So I already told you that. So what I want to show you today is kind of provide a brief introduction to NuGet. I know that not everyone is an expert in NuGet, but not everyone is a beginner as well. So once we get into a brief introduction, I'll talk about how to create packages, show you how to do it today, and also show you some future work we're doing. And then I'll show you a little bit of NuGet outside of Visual Studio, and then I'll talk a little bit about how you can contribute to NuGet. All right, let's see some demos. So the first thing I want to show you is how do you get NuGet? One of the things we really wanted to focus on is the usability of NuGet, making sure that it's really easy to acquire and get started with in a very short amount of time. So in Visual Studio, there's this menu option called the Extension Manager, and this is where you can get really cool extensions to Visual Studio that add new capabilities. You can see here I have Power Commands and Productivity Power Tools installed but disabled. But if I click on the online gallery, I can do a search here for NuGet, and comes up right there, and then install it. Hit close. I think it says I need to restart, so let's restart. But that's all it takes, and now I'm ready to go start using NuGet. Since this is an MVC conference, I might as well start with a new MVC project. And the thing I want to emphasize here is that unlike the Extension Manager, which extends Visual Studio, NuGet is really about adding libraries and code to your project. And that is the scope of that. So you can see here I have an MVC application, and I'm going to launch this Add Library Reference dialog, and I need to remember to click the Online tab so that you know that our privacy people made us do that, but you want to know that you're actually making a request online. So if I click on NuGet Official Package Source here, you can see that we've got this list of packages. This is coming from an online feed, and I can click and page through, or I can do searches. So I'm going to do a search for EF Code First, and here's a package called EFCodeFirst.SQL Server Compact. So these are libraries provided by Microsoft in this particular case. On the right tab here, you can see that we show a list of dependencies. So this package depends on these other three packages. So when I install this package, all of those will be brought into my project as well. So, oops, I meant to actually install that. Okay, let's do this again. Okay, so the thing here is if I click the install button, it's now downloading these packages and then... Okay, so, yeah. Bummer. I'm running an older version. Okay. So there's another interface to using the package manager, which is the package manager console. So one of the interesting things about packages is that some of them can contain PowerShell scripts. And so we have this PowerShell-based console. And by the way, that error will be fixed in our next release, which will be coming out soon, hopefully this week. So what that error said is that this package contains PowerShell scripts, so you need to run it from the package manager console. And this is a PowerShell-based console that allows you to also install packages. So what you can see here is that install-package is the command, and then I can type EF code and then hit tab, and we get IntelliSense directly from the OData feed. So if I choose EF code first .SQL Server Compact, we'll install this set of packages. And before I start writing code, let me just show you what happened. If we look in my references section here, we can see that we now have a reference to Entity Framework, code first, and let's see, scroll all the way down here. And we have this web activator. This web activator is a little library that my coworker David Ebo wrote that allows you to do multiple pre-application start methods effectively. So basically methods that run really, really, really early, even before your app and your request init or begin request runs, or your app init runs. And let's look at where those libraries have been placed. So I know a lot of people like to look under the hood. So one of the things, as I mentioned before, the scope of what NuGet installs is within your solution. So within next to my solution file, you'll notice here there's this packages folder. And if we click in the packages folder, we have a folder per package. One of the big requests we have is people want to control the name of that folder or where that folder is. That we actually have an undocumented feature in NuGet 1.0 that supports that, and in future versions of NuGet, we'll start to build the UI and make that a little bit easier to configure. Hopefully, one of my coworkers or I will write about that soon and actually make it a documented feature. But the idea here is that if you follow this convention, you know exactly where these libraries are going to be, and the benefit here is that we don't copy these assemblies into your bin directory because most likely you don't want to check your bin directory in a source control. One of our key focuses initially is that we put this assembly in a known location, and then in Visual Studio we add a reference to that location, and then you can put that packages folder in source control. And the benefit of doing that is that if I check in this project now into my source code repository, and the next guy on my team does a get latest, and let's say they don't even have NuGet installed on their machine, they're going to get their project in a workable state that they can start coding against right away without having NuGet installed. However, we do hear loud and clear from the community that people want to not check the packages folder in and be able to have build tasks that will then pull the packages in at build time, and we are investigating that for a future version of NuGet. And we hope to have NuGet versions out there every month to 2 months, up to, like point releases. So you can see that that sort of thing coming first. So one thing I want to show you, let's see, let's go back to the Package Manager console. This little icon here is brings up the Package Manager settings. You can also go to Tools, Library Package Manager, and get the settings. And we have support for local feeds. So this feed here is the default, and you can see that it's a URL, and that points to an OData service. But if you wanted to add, let's say, a folder on disk, so I have a folder here called Packages on my desktop, and it contains one package. You can actually just point to a folder that contains packages and add that as a feed. So I'll go ahead and add that. And when I click on the local packages, you can see that I have this comic demo package. So one thing with demos I've done in the past, I end up writing a lot of code. But nowadays, I just put the code into a package, and I install that package. And then you don't have to sit there and watch me hunt and peck the keys. So what did that do? That added this comic demo code here. So what I can do here is I just need to add this comic book class. So I'll make you watch me write a little bit of code. So what I want to do is build a real quick comic book database so that I can store all the cool comic books that I own. It's a very nerdy thing to do, I admit. Publisher. Okay, so with that, if I hit Control F5, and the point of this demo is to show you that now that I've brought in those libraries using NuGet, I can start using them right away. So home slash, what did I call it? So in home controller, I can, let's tab that over. Show comics. Let's make this an action method. And what I'm going to do is return comic demo. Create some comic books. So this return view of this. What this method does is it uses EF code first to create some comic books. So you notice here that this comic context is this really clean class. It just derives from DB context. And this is my interface into EF code first. My comic book class I wrote, you notice here that this is a really clean class. It's a plain old CLR object. There's no, I didn't have to derive from any classes. I didn't have to do any crazy annotations on that to get this basic scenario working. And now with my home controller, I can add a view, and we'll create a strongly typed view using the comic book and a list template. I figure since even though I'm talking about NuGet, I have to show a little bit of MVC3. And now when we navigate to /home/show comics, I hope that's what I called it. Yep. We can see here that we created these three comic books in the database. And if I go into Visual Studio and show the app data folder, we have a database there. So EF Code First creates that database when you run it the first time. The real cool thing here is how quickly I was able to get this app up and running by installing these packages from NuGet. Now, most people, I think, imagine will install packages using the dialog. It's a convenient way of doing searching. But one of the other benefits of the Package Manager console is that the packages can actually add new commands into the console that you can then use. So to show you an example of that, install package MVC scaffolding. So if you stay tuned on this channel right after my talk, Steve Sanderson, who is also a member of the ASP.NET team, will give a more in-depth demo of MVC scaffolding. I'll just give you a taste here. So what MVC scaffolding does is it actually adds these new commands into the console now that allow me to scaffold my application. So whereas I've only shown you a page that lists some comics that I've created, I can now run this new scaffold command. Let me zoom in here. Scaffold controller, and you notice we get IntelliSense all the way. And I'm going to choose comic book. Now, I've already made a mistake in that one of the things that his scaffolding package does is it actually creates a comic context. So I need to delete mine so that it uses his. Oops, let me try that again. -force. And let's zoom in. Okay. So one of the things here is you notice here that it not only created a comic book controller, but it also created a set of views. So if I hit run this site by hitting Control F5, I will get build errors. Okay, let's see. Oh, I need to get rid of this comic demo code. And in fact, what I should have done is you can also uninstall packages using NuGet as well. So, for example, in this case, I've installed the wrong package or comic demo. And now I've successfully removed comic demo. course, I made a change to home controller, so I need to fix that up too. All right. Now the project should build. I can hit Control F5. Excuse me. And let's go to /comicbooks. And in a matter of minutes, I have a fully scaffolded site. So let's just test this out. GRU, I Wish I Had Issue 1, and this is Dark Horse Comics, one of the best comic books of all time. And let's see, let's pick another one. Spider-Man, also Wish I Had Number 1, and I believe he's Marvel. And you notice here that now I can create comics in this list. I can click on details to, you know, view the details. Go back to, I can edit them and I can delete them. So let's delete one. So now this provides a really nice way of quickly getting up and running a scaffolded site that allows you to do the basic CRUD operations. And then from there you can take the artifacts that it created and move forward. All right. So one of the things I want to show you, since you're all developers, let's look under the hood at what's going on when we're actually using the Add Package Dialog. So I'm going to launch Fiddler, one of my favorite tools, and let's bring up the Add Package Dialog. And let's click online and let's do a search for a route. And then let's look at what happened in Fiddler. So what you can see here in a moment is that we're making these OData requests that allow querying our creating queries. From a code perspective, our code is actually working against an iQueryable, which means we're just writing link queries against the data store. And then OData client actually translates that into this URL format and then runs the query on the server side. And then that data is returned in an Atom-like feed here, as you can see down here. And all of this is transparent, but I thought it would be interesting to show you that. So the next step to show you is where exactly is that query being made to? Where are we getting that list of packages? And what we have here is a website called NuGet.org. So this is, NuGet.org itself is an open source project much like NuGet. So both projects accept contributions, and if you go to NuGet.codeplex.com and look at our related projects, you can find both the NuGet the Orchard Gallery project and the Gallery Server project, and both of those comprise building the NuGet.org site as well as the Orchard Gallery, the Orchard website. So what we have here is is our main site. We got a link so you can click install NuGet, and then we have a packages tab where you can use for searching packages. So if I do search for route debugger, we can find my route debugger package. Oh, cool, 307. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to sign in. I've created an account called Fake Hacked because I didn't want to give away my real API key, and I'm going to sign in as Fake Hacked. And let's go to contribute. So when you create a package, the way you're going to get the one way you can get the package into the site is to create click Add New Package, and then choose your package file. So for example, I might choose comic demo, and then click the upload link. And click upload, and then you can you have a last chance to modify the metadata, though most of that metadata is pre-populated from the package itself. And then I'm not going to click next because I don't want to pollute the feed with my comic demo. And I want to show you another way to do this. So let's talk about package creation. So consuming packages with NuGet is really easy, but we also want to focus on making creating packages really easy. As Scott mentioned earlier in his keynote, we really want to spur the open source ecosystem around our platform and our products, and the way to do that, we hope, is by making it really, really easy for people to share all the cool projects and code and libraries that they're building via NuGet. So I have this folder here called Hack Packages, and I have a ton of stuff in there. But I'm going to show what the comic book demo package look like. Every package has a new spec file. So this is the specification for your package. And in this case, this is a pretty simple one. You can see here that I have my ID, version, who the author is, whether I require you to check a license acceptance dialog, and I had that false, a description, and the language. Now, by convention, we have three sets of folders that you can put within your package. Content contains files that get copied directly into the root of your project that you install the package into. Lib, it contains the assemblies that will have a project reference added to that assembly. And Tools contains your PowerShell scripts, or EXEs, that get added to the Package Manager console. This package is very simple. It just has content, and that content has a models folder. And you notice here that this comic demo has a .pp extension. So I'll talk about that real quick. Let's just look at that. What the PP extension does is it allows us to do some simple transformations of the file using these tokens like root namespace. So these are actually Visual Studio replacement variables. So we support a whole set of them, but most likely the most common one you'll use is the root namespace one. So that way, that's how when I installed that package, that file got added into my project, but it had the namespace of my project as well, rather than some generic namespace. So, pro tip for building packages. Another package that I blogged about recently on my site is called AutoUpdate. This package is kind of interesting because it's in a way it's almost a meta package where it adds the ability for your website to update itself using NuGet. And the reason I'm showing you this package is this is this package shows off a couple of other fields like project URL, and one I'm missing here that I really should show is license URL. We highly recommend including a license URL for every package. And as a matter of fact, we've been contemplating requiring that. So if you want to weigh in on our forums at nuget.codeplex.com/discussions, you can let us know what you think about that idea. So you notice here that this package contains a live folder. So we have two DLLs in there. And then it has a content folder. And these files get added to your project. Now, once again, we have this web.config.transform. So you'll notice here this is a really simple configuration file with one app setting. And what we do when we install this package is we're actually smart about merging config settings, and we merge in this app setting into your web.config file. So you notice that we don't just cut and paste this into your project. We actually do a proper merge when you install this package. So this makes it really simple to write these config transformations. We are considering support for more advanced transformations in the future. But so far, with most of the packages we've seen, we haven't needed that level of sophistication. So now that I have this package, how do I actually create it? Excuse me. So let's change directories into what is it called? Let's do auto update. And I'm in the auto update directory, and what I'm going to do is run the NuGet command line tool. So the command line tool, can be acquired in multiple ways. You can go to the nuget.codeplex.com site, click downloads, and we have the command line tool right there. We also have a package in our feed that that will download the command line tool, and then you can copy it wherever you want or use it right from there. In this case, I already have it downloaded, but once you have the command line tool, you can run the NuGet U command or update command, and it's right here, NuGet update command. And this is actually going to check for updates and upgrade the NuGet.exe command line tool if an update's successful. So now that I have that, I can run the NuGet pack command, and I'll give it a path to a new spec file. So auto update, auto update.newspec. And when I run that command, you can see that it successfully built auto update 0.10.0.nupkg. So what I want to do though is go back there. Yeah. Pack packages. So I already have 1.0 in the feed, so I'm going to actually increment this version. Unfortunately, I haven't made any changes, so this will confuse people who are trying this out. But this was a proof of concept package, so I'm not too worried in this case. So let's build this one. You can see here that we've now created an auto update 0.2.0. But the question is, how can I get that into the actual public feed? So I already showed you one way, which is to upload the package using the website. But another way is to go into your account. Once you have an account on your website, there's this access key here that you can use. And this is your API key, so you want to keep this secret. You don't want to broadcast this to anyone like I'm doing live right at this moment. So because they will be able to use that key to upload packages under your name, and you kind of don't want that. So what I can do here is, whoops, NuGet push auto update, and I think specify the key here. Just blanked on the command. Let's try this. Access to the path. Oh, auto update dot. I know people are frantically IMing me now, but I have it turned off, to saying, "Oh, you're doing it wrong." So, actually, well, one thing I can do is just write NuGet help, and it'll tell me exactly the format. So, NuGet push. Auto update dot 0.2.0.nupkg or nupkg, and then the API key. All right. See, I know how to figure this out. Great. So you can see here that the package was uploaded to the server, but not published. So publishing your package to the live feed. Oh, and then, sorry. So you can actually upload the package but not publish it. But push does both of those options. It uploads it and then it publishes it. So this shows you the status of exactly what happened. So it may take a little moment for it to show up in the up here. So let's just try it though. So right now that's only showing auto update, but it'll actually be available in the OData feed immediately. So there's a little communication going on with the back end and the front end. So if I go to route data, auto update. We can see here that, if I zoom in, that version 2 is now up on the live feed. So this provides a nice quick way of doing package creation. Well, that's cool and all, but what I really like to show you is, that is cool, and today this is one of the better ways to create packages and get them into the feed. So if you have really cool libraries that you want to share with people, feel free. So what I'm going to show you here is I have this nuget.tools.prototype. So this is actually publicly available in a fork on one of the developers on NuGet, in a public fork on Codeplex.com. But it's the kind of thing you wouldn't know about unless I told you. And I'm going to install this prototype. And what this prototype is going to show us is this proposed workflow that we're going through, that we're looking for feedback on for creating packages. So I just installed that. And I believe I'll have to restart Visual Studio. And what that should have updated NuGet to the latest development version. So this is not yet public. So let's create a new project. And I'm going to create a class library. And I'm going to call it Music to My Ears. Music to My Ears. So the idea here is that this Music to My Ears library is going to be the next great package in the NuGet feed. And everyone's going to be really excited by it. Now, what I want to do is go into here and update the assembly info. You know, it says copyright Microsoft, but I want to get full credit for this really cool idea. Phil Hack, Hack Attack Enterprises, and version is. Let's not be so ambitious and call it version 1 yet, so I can change this version number to 0.1. And what I do next is I need to actually write some interesting code here. So let's call it. Let's call this class Play That Funky Music. And then we need a method on that class, so I'll just call it public static void now. Yes, I know statics are evil, but this is just a demo. Now, here's the thing. A lot of times when you're building a package, you're not actually building it in isolation. So I really want this package to actually depend on some other packages. Well, very conveniently, one of my coworkers wrote this interesting package called Super Farter. And this package depends on another package that another coworker of mine wrote called Fart. So every app store, every package feed has to have one, so now we do too. Yay. Okay, so now that I have this, I can actually call this code in my package, I guess I have to new this up. Yeah, this feels very juvenile to me too. But I have this class library, and now what I want to do is I want to make my package, class library, a package. So we'll go back to the console. Let me zoom in here. And I'm going to run this new command called newspec. Again, this is a prototype. This is not in the current version of NuGet, but this is what we're looking at. And then I'm going to use this flag called add build target. And what that's going to do is create a newspec file, but also add a build target to my project, so that every time I build my project, it's going to create a new NuGet package off of this. So let's control shift enter. Oops. I meant alt shift enter. Okay. So here you can see that we actually looked at the metadata that was in the assembly. And for example, the version here is 0.1.0, and we populated these items here. And I can go ahead and add extra whatever other metadata that I want. The other interesting thing to note is that because I installed Fart and SuperFarter as packages, I can't believe I'm saying the word fart on live TV, but because I installed these things as packages, NewSpec command was smart enough to add those as proper dependencies, NuGet dependencies, rather than trying to include those in the lib folder. So in fact, the only file that's included in my package is the one that I'm building here, Music to My Ears. So if I build this, we can see that we actually, I'll have to show you. And then if I go to the bin folder here, so we'll open this in Explorer. It's way down here. Go to our bin folder, and we can see that I have this Music to My Ears 0.1.0.0 new PKG file. Well, let's make sure that thing actually works. So what I'm going to do here is create a new project. Well, what I can do is, before I upload it, I'm going to want to test that this works. So I'll actually create a console app in here first. Console application. Oh, so you notice here I want to choose not client profile. That's a little trick on David Ebel's blog. You should check it out. So in console application, if I make sure I switch my project to console application and go ahead and install package. Music to My Ears. You notice here that that even though I haven't pushed this package up to the feed, within the same solution, it's actually available to the commands. It's a little trickery that we're playing around with, where when you're using this workflow for creating packages, we'll add it to the feed so that you can test it out real quick. So when I install that package into the console app, and now in my program, I can call it, so it's Music to My Ears dot Play That Funky Music Now, and let's try running that. Oh, whoops! I want to I gotta set this as a startup project and then run that. How lovely. Great, so we can see that it works. Now, if I go back to the Music to My Ears project, and let's see, go to the Package Manager console, switch back to that. Directly from here, I can go ahead and publish my package using the push package command directly to the feed. So I need to specify my API key, which is still in my clipboard. And this actually will push that package directly to my feed. Now let's update this package again to version 0.2. Actually, what I should do is do it in assembly info, but I'll just do it here real quick. And then I'm going to build it again. And then I'm going to go to the Package Manager console and push it again. Oops. My guess is that, oh, I know what happened. Let's just clean out the old one. I probably should have done a clean build. Let's try it again. Okay, so now we've pushed 0.2.0 up to the feed. So going way back earlier to what I talked about with one of my initial challenges with subtext, if I launch the Add Library Package Reference dialog and I click on Updates, we can see here that the Updates tab is letting us know that, hey, there's a new version of Music to My Ears in the feed, and you can go ahead and click Update to now update to the latest version. So the Updates tab is pretty useful. Also coming soon is Recent Packages, where we show the packages that you've installed recently. So that's that'll be coming out soon. Cool. So I've shown you how to create a package using the today's method, and then using a method that we're prototyping and looking for feedback on. So we'd like to hear what you think about that streamlined workflow for creating packages. So the next thing I want to show you is using NuGet outside of Visual Studio. So there's a lot of, we've really focused a lot on creating a really nice experience within Visual Studio, since a large number of our audience use Visual Studio to do development. But that sort of created this impression that NuGet only works in Visual Studio. While Visual Studio is our premier environment for using NuGet, we have a layered architecture where the core libraries of NuGet don't have any dependencies on Visual Studio. And in fact, Scott talked about Web Matrix before, so let me just show you creating a Web Matrix website, or an ASP.NET web pages website. So someone asked earlier, you know, what is ASP.NET Web Pages, and what's this relationship to Web Matrix? And basically, the relationship is that Web Matrix is the IDE, and ASP.NET websites is the runtime. So I've created this folder. I've put in index.cshtml, and now I can open this folder as a website using Web Matrix. So you know what helps is if you name that correctly. It's CSHTML, and just throw a little bit of code in here, just for the heck of it. Now, what's interesting about this is I can run the site and hit start. So this is all within Web Matrix, and this will bring up. Let's see. Should bring up a browser. Where is it? Oh, maybe sorry, I need to hit the run command. Let me just close everything else. So you can see here that we've got our Hello World site up. But one of the interesting features of Web Matrix is ASP.NET Web Pages, if I go to /admin or underscore admin, we get this page that allows me to administer my site. So this is the first time I've run it, so it's telling me I need to create a password. So I'm going to create one called password. And while I'm thinking about it, I'm going to go back to NuGet.org. Apologize for this diversion. I'm going to go to my account. I'm curious, or contribute, manage my contributions. I just want to see if anybody else had uploaded packages while I was not looking. I'm going to generate a new key and then delete that. Okay, great. So this is, for security reasons, what we do here is that we hash the password and save it in this config file, and all I have to do is rename that file by removing the underscore. So if I hit refresh here, in the app data folder, you can see here we have this password config file. So let me rename it. And then let's visit this site again. So now I can log into this admin site. And I can click online here. And you can see here that we have these all these really cool online packages. This is all built on top of NuGet, but this is a web-based interface to NuGet. And so I can go in here and install packages. So for example, I might want to check out the bakery template. And then I can look at the info and click install. And now that's been installed into my project. So if I go over here, hit refresh. Oh, there it is. We can see that all this code has been added to my project, and I'm able to start using it right away. So it's kind of a neat environment for using Web Matrix that's completely outside of Visual Studio within a web application, effectively. Another cool thing is that, as I mentioned earlier, NuGet itself is an open source project. We do accept contributions. It's the project itself is owned by the Outer Curve Foundation, and the license is Apache. So what that means is that pretty much anyone can take NuGet and incorporate it into their own projects. And as a great example of this, Sharp Develop did exactly that. So I'm running here Sharp Develop 4.1 Alpha. So emphasis on the alpha here. So you might see it crash once or twice. What I can do here is I'm going to create a new project. New solution. And we'll select the ASP.NET, and there is no MVC application template. All right, so website, we'll call it my website. Create this. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to right-click references and add package reference. So I don't know if you can see that there. Add package reference. And this brings up a NuGet dialog within Sharp Develop. And this is their own take on it. If I click the Available tab, we get pretty much the same experience as before. So now to do the required NuGet demo, Elma, I'm going to install Elma into here and click Add. And hit Close. And now I'll build my site. And then I will try to run it. And this is where I get a nice alpha exception, but the good news is what I can do here is open this folder in Explorer, and now what I'm going to do is open this website in Web Matrix, and we'll run it from there, because at this point it's just a website. So I'll run this site, and then I'll, let's see, oh actually I think I need to... need to add a page that's going to throw an exception. So let's do this. What is that, default? Okay. And now when I go to elma.axd, we can see that Elma's working. We can see the details. So this provides a very similar experience that we have to Visual Studio, but in a completely third-party, fully open-source project called Sharp Develop. Okay, so I'm actually doing well on time here. The last thing I want to show you is more about the project itself. So it's just kind of, so one of the things we really have a great set of contributors, but we're always looking for more people to get involved. And when we say we accept contributions, you know, we really mean that. We're a fully open source project. Probably said that multiple times. So this is our project site. If you click on the documentation tab, we have a lot of documentation for how to get started. When you see, we're using Mercurial as our repository, and I want to give you a quick tour of the NuGet solution. So here's our okay, there we go. So NuGet itself it might seem overwhelming. There's quite a few projects here, but some of the core things to look at is there's NuGet.core, and this is where most of the key logic, the dependency resolution logic, all that stuff lives there. And as I mentioned earlier, this library doesn't have any dependencies on Visual Studio. I've shown this library working within a website, and we also saw some of these components used in Sharp Develop. We have our PowerShell host, and so this is kind of the starting point for our various PowerShell commands and the actual host within Visual Studio for running these commands as PowerShell commands. And we have our command line tool in here as well, so that's kind of, in many respects, it's out of band to our out of band, so the command line tool sort of revs on its own cycle as well. So we rev that perhaps even faster than we rev the actual Visual Studio integration. And so we're always looking for help. If you go to the best way to get started, if you're interested in contributing to NuGet, is to read up on our documentation page, check out our discussions tab. We try to keep all of our discussions in the discussions tab, and our only issue tracker is this issue tracker here. So there's no internal issue tracker that we run separately. There's no internal discussion list that we run separately, except when, you know, two people just email each other directly asking a question. For the most part, we're trying to do this completely in the open. And we do, if you go to our people tab, you can you will be able to see you know, that we have contributors who are not Microsoft employees. If you go to a site like olo.com, olo.net, I think it is, you can actually see, you know, a graph of all our check-ins and dependencies. So that's pretty much all I had to show today about NuGet. If you have any questions, now's a good time. I think I have about 6 minutes or so to answer questions about NuGet, which I'd be happy to do. And yeah. So I see the teleprompter's coming up, but there's no questions on there. Go back to from beginning. Oh, shoot. So I'm being told there's no questions yet. Well, thank you very much. I hope if you haven't heard of NuGet before, I hope you can see the value that it will add to your own development. One of the things I recommend that you do is, if there's a popular library that you use, whether it's from Microsoft or elsewhere, you know, ask them to turn it into a NuGet package and put it on the feed. I've been doing that myself because a lot of the dependencies that Subtext, you know, one of the projects I mentioned earlier that I ran into these difficulties, a lot of its dependencies weren't NuGet packages, so I actually took it upon myself to create packages for the open source ones and then notify the authors of those packages, telling them that I'd be happy to create these packages and upload them or give it to them and make them the owners of the package. One other note, when you create an account on NuGet.org, right now there's an approval process in place. We hope to get rid of that at some point, but if you can't log in, it just means that it's taking me or one of my coworkers time to get around to approving your account. Like I said, the gallery, NuGet.org, is a little bit rough, but we're constantly investing in improving it and making it a much better experience. And is there anything else? No? That's about it. So thank you very much.